Drag Your Show Show with Peaches and DJ Motai.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Beezy, the Southeast Beast.
What's going on, man? It's your boy Jack Freeman, H-Town representative.
It's your boy D-Lo, man.
It's Cab the Dumb, man.
What's good? Space City, the great city. It's your boy, Ruth Williams.
Hi, this is Booker T, five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show.
Oh, dude.
Hey, Peaches.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hey, Peaches.
Doing my hair.
You're always like manicuring yourself, or not manicuring.
Do you still have the Peruvian hair?
Yes.
Cool.
Well, I'm doing my real hair right now, though. Like my hair.
That's cool.
Wait, you have real hair?
Right.
Hey, we have a good show for you today. We have the man they call Express on the show today. He came by to talk about his project, Higher Learning, and he talks about why he's so forceful on Twitter, doesn't he, Peaches?
I mean, he tried to.
He tried to,
Hey, make sure y'all always rate, review, and subscribe to the Brad Gilmore Show on demand on iTunes.
Demand. On iTunes.
And then go to bradgilmore.podbean.com. And listen from there as well. We're going to be on Stitcher Radio and SoundCloud coming up too. So you can and YouTube. So y'all just going to be able to hear us wherever we are. And so
why I didn't know that. Why is this my first time finding any of everything that you just said?
Peaches, I'm with you on this.
Hey,
I didn't know about this.
Hey, I just made the decision just now in the intro.
So we're going to have like videos and stuff too. That's cool.
You ain't even discussing with me.
I didn't discuss it with anybody. I just made it up just now.
We're going to have videographers up in here. Or we're going to have a picture up and just play the audio.
What, Peaches?
Brad's not bossing me.
Peaches, I don't need you talking to me like this on the intro. We have fans listening to us right now.
You better stop yelling at me.
What are you going to do through the phone?
Slap you.
All right. Well, everybody, stay tuned to DJ Motai's Monday morning music mix. Hashtag 4Ms. Hashtag BG Show.
No, not 4Ms.
We're going to work on your communication skills.
Whose communication skills?
Your communication skills.
Why do you need to work on my stuff?
Because.
I do good. You need to work on yours.
Who are you talking to?
You!
Peaches!
Why are you yelling at me?
Don't giggle. You think it's funny. It's not funny. This ain't a game.
It is a game.
Hashtag BG Show, hashtag Fake Monday Mornings, DJ Motai.
Hashtag Peaches.
Hey, ask Peaches out tomorrow, tatalapeaches.com. There you go, see? I shouted you out. Don't be mad now. All right, Motai, you ready?
Instagram and Twitter.
Straight flexing.
You can follow DJ Motai at DJ M-O-T-A-I, me at Brad Gilmore. And just because he's in the room, follow our producer, Ave 11, at AV11 on Twitter and Davis Avery on Instagram. All right, Motai, get into the mix now.
Lego.
You're listening to...
Don't let him tell you what to do.
You're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show.
On the mend, brother.
Through the
soul. Love a body was whole. Understands passion. No longer treating my art as rapping. Being uplifted by the clapping. See the sun was made to fade away the tears. Some of those who couldn't make it over the years. We're trying to break the curse and reimburse those who still live in fear. See my artistry is a part of me. And it's hard to see where I worked hard to be. But those who see my pain and understand this game realize this is more than just fame. We're trying to make it. No way we've made it. You say you got it when that's taken. You ever felt this is called passion? You ever heard this real rapping? Mixed with some rock and a little soul. And some people in my shows packed to the dough. Hands in the air, feet on the floor. Trying to lead the stage, but they wanted more. Oh, you didn't know we doing impossible. I just took a mic and changed my life. Now everything I write is reaching new heights. So we're flying high, high as a kite. Dropping jewels, always in the news. Dropping number twos on your face. How that say? So we creeped up. Oh no way. Got what we want, got what we need. Got in the car, increase the speed. 1, 2, 3, now you know we don't play G-A-M-E's. Get in the room, camera start the zone. Flowing like a flow. Turn the volume up so loud. Wall to wall sound, bring the roof down. Then suck the crowd, twist it like a dread. Bust a couple legs, make a little bread. Then go to bed. Y'all is out y'all lane. What we is almost fame. Who am I? What's my name? First name Brad, last name James. Living like kings, doing big things. Verse start to end, Dallas start to sing. Birds flying high, look at the sky. Living life side till I die.
Shawty say she don't really pop no pills, and she don't pop no pussy. Shawty say drink no pills, but she not no rookie. She say she don't mess with that Molly, she don't mess with that drink. She say she don't mess with that powder, she don't mess with that gang. She say she don't mess with these niggas, she don't care what they say. She say she don't mess with these bitches, she don't care for they ways. Got a lot on her mind, ain't got no time to play. She say she got a lot on her mind, ain't got no time to play. At least until she get an A, and then it's
higher.
Chillin' right up on the cloud. Y'all blowin' that shh, we blowin' that loud. And yo, bitch, she be lovin' the style. Poppin' them pills, now she goin' wild. Playin' niggas, we keepin' it cool. Say you want that higher learning, so I'm takin' her back to my school. We up in the whip, headed to a destination that's somewhere up in the west. Shawty is blessed, yeah, she got that ass. She got them breasts, I can see it in her eyes. Yeah, she fuckin' gone, yeah, she fuckin' gone. Say this shit right here, yeah, this shit right here is a fuckin' song, and I'm like, hell yeah. Pouring up and I'm faded. Tell her open up and say ah. Cause she say that she wanna taste it. Now we both late and here wasted. Staring up to the ceiling. Porno, then we both those up. Goddamn, what a wonderful feeling. Wake up and it's early in the morning and I'm yawning. And she cooking. Last night was a hell of a night. What a hell of a life. But it's usually how it is when you face your fears and take flight.
Let's go. Pills and marijuana. Turn up, pass us a rock in the weed. And where is the guy that passed me in the cab and told me he got what I need? Is he ever saying next? Cause I need one. I've been really stressed, spent all week setting in for my test. Just spotted my ex, so tonight I'm a flex. Can you please tell the DJ to turn it up? Cause it's about to go down. Can I get some drink up in my cup so I can get towed down? I love the feeling of getting wasted. The liquor be having me jaded. And when I smoke a J, it be having me so high. It feel like I'm up in a spaceship. Goodness gracious, when I'm faded, yeah, I be feeling X-rated. Can I get somebody to climb up on top of me? We can get right to the daily. I just wanna unwind. You get yours, I get mine. If you know what to do, let me know if you down. And I'll let you know when it's time to meet me in my room. I am. Okay, I treat life like a fortress. These words organize my portrait. Walking on the edge, this time looking in my mind and find a fortune. She's smoking and I'm focused. When it comes to trust, I'm hopeless. And when it comes to mind, I shine. Can't ignore these sides of the U.S. open. And I won't go. These high bellies on my nose. Fuck it, I'm taking control. We grind every day in shows. I tell them make room for my ego. Still rocking with my people. And we ain't all black in the back suit. Got to remain fly like an ego. And my seat's low. And no, they can't see through my tent. Living in hell, loving to live. But I feel like I'm living in sin. When the feeling of nothing is feeling the wrong, please tell me where do I begin? When the feeling of envy is stronger than ever, how can you trust in a friend? And I know, in this life, that I'm free. When I ride, she bumping Skrillex, meditating off of psychedelics. So let me tell it, I'm on a stairway, expecting heaven. And I'm old enough to know better. But I'm too young to give a fuck. And I'm old enough to know better. But I'm too young to give a fuck. So look me in my eyes. 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 I grab that pistol off the dresser. That Bible keep me blessed, I'm next up. Emotions I'm feeling, I'm pushing out like a compressor. They hate me cause I'm real, and I shine without a dip. Cause my mama raised a soldier, told us get it how you live. Live for a fact, bring it back, suffer one way. Say all they gotta do is smack that damn for rap. These days in the bottom of the map, how these motherfuckers that ain't nothing but a trap. But it cost more than it cause I'm young and I'm black. And I do me kick shit like I'm Bruce Lee. And I'm too raw like sushi in my movie. It's something like the homie El Pacino. Climbing from the bottom of the jungle, bet you she know. Everywhere that we go, them people coming out with his bow. We the illest niggas spitting in the south. And I'm old enough to know better. But I'm too young to give a fuck. And I'm old enough to know better. But I'm too young to give a fuck. So look me in my eyes. So look me in my eyes. So look me in my eyes. So look me in my eyes.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show.
Odds a man.
Oh yeah, dig it. Peaches, why are you looking at me like this?
Because I don't...
Motai's not here again.
I know.
I'm getting sad. It's like I see him... I don't even see him anymore. Well, yeah, that's a lie. I see him like every day. Except for today.
So how do you feel?
Actually, I guess I don't feel too bad. I guess it's not as bad as I thought it was.
This is one of those things where you start a story and then...
I don't know where this has come from. I always have good stories. My stories are the greatest. You are just a hater. We have a good show for you today, don't we, though, Peaches?
Your stories suck.
My stories are good. If my stories were no good, why would people want to listen to me talk?
I just haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I haven't. I really.
We have a good show, though, right, Peaches? Show, though, right?
Did you have an energy drink?
No, but the microphones are on, so I got turned up. My favorite vegetable?
Sitting quietly like 5 minutes ago.
We have Express on the program today.
What's going down?
He's slow.
He is slow.
Is that right?
That's what she said.
Is that not what you really wanted to say? Hmm? Is that not what you really wanted
That's
to say?
That's not really what I wanted to say.
What you wanted to say?
Don't worry about it. We'll talk about that off air.
Oh, Peaches, was that in advance? Were you? Were you making an advance toward Peaches?
You want to talk about it? People been beefing with me lately. What problem you got with me?
I don't have no problem with Peaches.
Y'all have beef?
I don't know.
What happened?
I don't like
What happened? Stuff. I want to know the beef.
I don't know either.
I love beef. Balls.
You tell me.
Who's beefing with Peaches?
I don't know.
Well, it seems like everyone's beefing with Peaches lately. If you listen to Tumblr pages. Stop.
What's going on?
I saw that
yeah,
today.
Did you see that?
I saw that today, yeah.
I'm not gonna shout out what it is.
No, I'm not gonna say their name.
Because they don't need
the information
promotion.
Was wrong.
And then don't change, say it.
No, we're not saying the name because I'm not promoting it. Because first, I think it's I think that for what they claimed that they were gonna do, like you being messy, you're not promoting nobody's music. And then you, like, I would respect it if you were being messy from yourself and then you was just gonna be that person. Then go ahead, go for it.
Or at least,
I mean, I wouldn't support it either way, but gossip sites are what they are. They're, you know, that's cool.
Yeah.
But I don't think that hiding behind something and then claiming to be real and exposing the truth, that's like an oxymoron. You're an idiot. Like, you're not.
At least be big enough.
Next time, do your research.
Yeah.
Who is Kia Hicks?
Yeah, she said that your sister was Kia Hicks.
Who is Kia Hicks?
Or whoever it was.
And
said.
I love Dope, but he is not my cousin.
I was about to start believing that.
Right? That she was they were cousins?
No, it's not my cousin.
Y'all don't look alike.
No, but that doesn't have
Are y'all play cousins?
No, we're not. I've never called Doe my cousin my day in my life.
I just want to know who Kia Hicks was. That was entertaining to me.
I just want people, if you're going to do your
Is that another actress on the show or something?
I have no idea. To be honest with you, I haven't seen that show in like the last 2 years.
Support.
Well, there's that.
What'd you think of it, man?
Man, I just think, you know, for somebody to I guess say they're exposing somebody, you know what I'm saying, and hide behind something, that's not really my style. You know?
Yeah, it's
like,
a little
like if I have something to say, I'm gonna say it to that person. You know?
Right.
So I don't really see the point in really exposing. Everybody kinda knows what's going on in Houston in terms of the music scene and all of that. So for somebody to come out and say they're exposing something, it's kinda it's redundant. We all know what's going on out here.
Yeah.
So.
I just don't understand the point. Like, it's just like, okay, I think it's like what Peach said, you're just trying to be gossipy and messy.
No, but I say that because I saw people saying, you know, that it was a good thing and that they're doing this, and I'm like, nah, like, if you were going to take the Perez Hilton or the MTO route, like...
We know who Perez is.
Right, and at the end of the day...
You know that African guy owns the MTO.
You know what I'm saying? So, and even with TMZ, like, if you're going to do that, then, you know, go for it. But put your face behind it. That way you can be held accountable for your decisions because everybody, you know, has something to say about how good they thought it was. It's cool until it's you.
Yeah, because first blog post, I literally, as it was like loading up, I was like, I have a feeling they're going to say something about me. But they didn't. They said
and
something
of course,
about Peaches.
Like,
it was because of the show, but it was Peaches. And then the next post had to do with the show I was a part of too. Look at that.
I don't get it.
That's right, Peach. You know why? You know why they say something about you and not me? They're scared. They're scared of Brad Gilmore.
I just think, you know, when it comes down to it, we should be talking about how we're building something up instead of pointing at problems. Like, I'm always the person, you know, I mean, I talk shit on Twitter. I say a lot of stuff on Twitter, but for the most part, it's always
Peach got crunk.
Toward the contribution of building something bigger than what we have. It's not never, I guess you could say, down talking anybody or, you know, I mean, it's a lot of people that I could not like or whatever the case, but I'm not here to speak on other people, what they have going. What I am here to speak on is how we do have a thriving music scene here, and a lot of people are just spinning their wheels. And we need to build on what we have here because it's something that could explode or something that can be taken to the next level. So I don't just get into all the mudslinging and all that BS that people get into, man, with the talking. I don't do that.
I mean, Nobody said you was getting into it. You said we was, it was there.
I don't know, man.
Brad is trying to take a panoramic Peaches, you did, picture. Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Room.
I just want to let everybody know, like, the panoramic picture kind of failed. Because, like, after it stops after Jesus, you know what I'm saying? Like, the rest of it is just, like, the back of the studio. Sorry. I got distracted for a second.
You probably should have started over there.
Peaches, you did call. You called Express out just a second ago.
I did?
You said you show is messy. Or what'd you say?
No, I said he does talk a lot of crap on Twitter.
I talk. That's what I do.
Isn't that, like, Twitter's thing, though? Like, I think.
You know, actually, I've seen you perform, what, 3 or 4 times this summer? How do you think your performances have went?
Man, I'm not going to lie. Like, the last few shows, it's been like a few glitches here and there. Overall,
outside of sound things that are, you know, that happen, and those are technicalities. As you as a rapper, how do you feel like your shows have been?
I think my performances are okay. I think that would be better if we had time to practice and do all of the extra shit that goes along with being an artist. We don't get a lot of practice. So what we do is we don't practice at all. Like, we don't. You
Why
know what
don't
saying?
You practice?
Because we don't have the time for it, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? With the writing and promoting of the project and traveling and working,
performing is where, you know, one of those things that has the ability to capture somebody who might not have been a fan of your music before. Why not take time to work on that?
Well, I don't think my performances are weak by any means. I think I do have a strong performance. I just said that
you don't have time.
They could be better if we practice more. That's what I said.
So when practice, like, be specific, practice what?
As in, maybe work on possibly some transitions or, you know, more, I guess you could say, stage presence in terms of maybe doing some things that are more coordinated. That's what I would say. Other than that, I mean, the music is there. The sets are never weak, in my opinion. But, I mean, I'm the one up there performing. I don't know how people feel from the crowd. How do you feel?
He topsy-turvied it.
I did.
Tables have been switched on you.
I mean, that's fine. I feel like sometimes you kind of yell at the audience to come to the stage, because every show that I've seen you perform at, you've done that. And I get why, because
you don't want people just standing
around.
Well,
that's true, but that's a bad thing with Houston crowds, is that, you know, they linger in their areas, and
that's true.
Like, they'll tweet that they're at the show, that they see you performing, but they're not engaged in the show. Or instead of, you know, standing in front of the stage, your friends are coming to come backstage. I'm like, you a friend? Like, you should be in the front making people, you know, want to come to the front. So it's not something that I would say is per se your fault, but that's what I've noticed. Have you ever seen them perform?
I think I've seen him perform a few times. Not anytime recent. I know your most recent show was the Young Von.
Well, I did one after that, but yeah.
Okay. Houston, Well, yeah. But I know my band has shown right next door, and that was another thing that the blog people talked about.
Yeah, I saw that.
What was wrong? WTF happened? I think is what the title of the thing with Young Von's show.
What I think happened, and I mean, this is just my honest opinion from being an artist and being out and doing shows, is I think there may have been a letdown between the promoter and the artist. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you have when you feel like you have a certain amount of pull, you maybe make decisions that aren't in your best interest. From what I know, I guess the room was double booked. Maybe you booked the room, and then
it wasn't me, but
whoever booked your show, they booked the room, and at the same time, I guess supposedly the room was booked for us, but that was on the 10th. So I'm not sure what happened on the 10th. But and then all I know is the room got switched, and I was concerned because I know, I mean, when I'm on a show, I sell tickets. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I bring people in, but I know a lot of other artists may not have the same type of pull, or maybe not have the same consistency when it comes to moving the tickets. So that was my concern, just having a smaller crowd in a room that holds 500 to 600 people. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's just how I felt on it. So it was just a little disconnect between expectations in terms of what the promoter and in terms of what artists maybe felt like they could do. And that's a position that I would have rather not been in. But, I mean, when it comes down to it, I signed up to do a show, so we did a show.
You think it would have been better if it were in, like, maybe a smaller capacity venue? Maybe
definitely.
Make it, yeah.
Definitely.
Okay, okay, yeah, for sure. But how did the is that where you saw him last, Peaches? Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
So how did you feel your performance was on that show?
I'm never, to be honest with you, I'm never, like, completely satisfied with any performance that I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? I always feel like it could be better. I always feel like there are certain things that maybe could have gone better. In terms of what she was speaking on with the crowd, I feel like if you come to a show to see performances, like, I'm not one for the chatter and all the talking in the back and huddling up in the corner and all that. Like, come and engage these artists. Like, if anybody pays me any attention when I'm at a show and somebody's performing, I'll be in front watching them perform. There's pictures of me watching Cooley perform. You know, I don't know if there's pictures of me watching the Foundation. The only person that I really didn't stay to see was Vaughn, and that's because I was passing out CDs and I was trying to get out to make sure I hit some of your crowd from your show with CDs and stuff. So, I mean, I was doing what needed to be done, but overall, I just think we have to change the culture in terms of if you're coming out to see a show, enjoy a show. I went to the show at Mango's. I was there. I enjoyed myself. I wasn't a participant, but I actually enjoyed the show and I actually showed my appreciation for it. And I think that's what needs to happen in Houston. But obviously, we don't have that type of culture here, or at least we're not reaching the type of or the demographic that actually comes to enjoy a show instead of being seen or just be out on the scene.
A common thing that I've always seen or heard people talk about at these shows in the Houston hip hop scene is rappers rapping for rappers. Yeah. How do you feel like that's a true thing?
I definitely do. At this point, I've just told myself, aside from anything that we may put on as a collective in terms of my team or anything, but really, aside from that, I'm not really looking to do many shows here because I'm performing to the same crowd, or I don't necessarily see myself bleeding into anybody else's fan base or anything like that. So, I mean, that's just not something I'm looking to do. I'm looking to expand my fan base and really grow it in a way that I can see. Because I can't see 4,000 downloads on Twitter. I can see the numbers, but I can't see that at my shows. So I want to go out and actually bring those people into the shows. But in Houston, that's a common thing. Is we come to each other's shows, we do that. And I mean, aside from us supporting each other, where is the support from the city? It's not there.
I mean, but as an artist, do you feel that support has to be automatic or that it has to be grown?
No, you definitely have to work for everything. I don't think anything comes to us just because we are who we are. If I was just sitting at home and I was just rapping, I can't expect for people to know who I am or even be willing to investigate and see what it is that I'm doing. So, no, I don't think that we all deserve. I don't think anybody deserves to automatically have a fan base. Everything comes with work, and that's what I'm doing, or that's what we should be doing as artists, is going out. But it's so much. It's other things that contribute to what's going on.
So, with the project Higher Learning, how do you feel that it ranks, you know, against all the stuff that has come out? Because I've heard, you know, again, you're very expressive on Twitter.
Right.
So, and I know, you've expressed how you feel about it. So how do you feel like that it ranks up to other people's projects versus, you know, I know it's been called militant and, you know, it's not something that it's very, I don't know what word I'm looking for, but it's not like what everybody else is putting out right now.
I think it's definitely atypical from what's going on in Houston. And I think because of that, not just because of that, but because of the type of music that was made and the quality of the music, that it definitely ranks in the top five. I would say just being that it's my, I wouldn't even say just being that it's my project, but because of the response that's going from it and that I don't have a machine behind me. Like, literally, this is just me and my brother and whoever else we've incorporated for it to have the type of buzz that it does have, that speaks volumes. Because I don't have a cosign. I don't have anything behind me, and my music is damn good, in my opinion. So if you're going to rank it, I feel like it should be number one because, one, you don't hear another project out in the city right now. You don't hear another project that's even similar to that, whereas you can go and listen to other artists and you're going to hear the pop trunk, the swanging, the syrup, and all of that, and that's been done. I'm more of a let's push the envelope and push the scene in a direction that makes people actually want to come and see what the hell we doing in Houston, because it's more going on. So if you ask me, I feel like it's the best project out right now. That's not taking anything else away from anybody. I respect everybody that's putting out music.
I mean, you should feel like it's the music. Best project out is yours.
But no, that's not necessarily true, because last year I dropped How to Be a Player, and I feel like Rob had the best project out. And I
said
that.
I liked How to Be a Player more than I liked Higher Learning, but that's because of, I'm gonna just go ahead and say, probably because of the content. I felt that, not that Higher Learning was a bad project, I just felt like I was being preached at, and that's kind of the same reason that I don't listen to, like, you know, like Common as much, or like Nas as much, is because sometimes it's like, okay, I just don't want that. But some of the songs, like even the one I asked you about, like those are songs that I do like. But you know, like you said, it's one of those things where it is, like, if I put it any closer to my face.
Pause.
Like, how much
I'm
closer
saying
to
just
my face do you
talk
want
directly
it?
Into it. Keep going with your point,
I don't
though.
Even know what I was saying no more.
You're talking about the song.
Hold the microphone.
Right, she was talking about it made the project
Shit.
Feeling preachy.
Oh, yeah, the project was feeling preachy.
I'm mad at the microphone now, because now this is all I can see and focus on is how close it is to my face, and I'm like, I'm going to bust myself
tip
in the lip with
tip.
It.
Yo, you just Pause. Said close to your face, and you said bust yourself. Those are just two awful things. Those are just two poor choices of words. There's certain words that you just can't say, like moist. You can never use the term moist.
My homegirl said that the other day, and because I was like,
and it sounds weird,
like,
right?
Moist. She was like, "You nasty." I'm like, "Cause I said moist," and she was like, "Yeah."
You can't use moist in everyday vernacular. It just doesn't sound right.
Doesn't bother
do
me.
Dewy, like, am I
it doesn't bother
to
you?
Dewy,
doesn't bother me.
You
at
like
all.
Moist?
Yeah, moist is cool with me.
You nasty, and you like to talk shit. You just a little
hey,
nasty.
Moist
little
is
thing.
Cool with me, man.
See, that's How to Be a Player Express talking.
Maybe.
But you were talking about the differences between Higher Learning and How to Be a Player.
I liked How to Be a Player. That was in my Hive Society days.
Yeah, shout out.
Yeah, definitely shout out to the Hive.
But I don't know.
Continue really your upset. Point.
I don't want to talk about it no more because the microphone is pissing me off.
Do you feel that the project Higher Learning was militant and preachy?
No, I just
think... Wait, hold on. When you say militant, what do you mean, bitches?
I don't mean like, I don't know.
You mean like Black Panther-y? Is that what you're saying? Because that's what I think of when I think
militant. And you think Black Panther-y.
That's what I think.
You've been on a roll today.
Militant.
Yeah. Huh?
You've been on a roll today.
That's pretty militant.
I told
that's
Brad
just what I think
he was chivalrous. Brad tells me, and this is a direct quote.
She is lying off of her, out of
that's
because
you used to messing with them Negroes.
That's such a lie.
That was his,
that's such
was,
a lie.
That was his direct, like, that was
such a lie. I never said such
a
thing.
Are you blushing red? Look.
Yeah, he's like stupid red right now.
That is exactly what he said, though. Because I was like, I wish somebody else would have been here to see that, because... Anyway,
it was a classic moment.
Yeah,
but I didn't say
he is so red. Like, you're the same color as your shirt.
My shirt's orange. All right, so what do you think when you think militant? Then what do you mean, Peaches?
I just think it was, I guess, preachy is a better word. But that's you.
Like,
I mean, you've heard
preachy
that,
how
sure,
though?
And I'm you probably why
you're,
are you
you're not being,
me?
But you're not being like specific enough
I can't
for
say
me.
That word correctly. What do you want me to say?
I want you to explain to me what do you mean by preachy?
It was
but
informative.
I think
people don't want to learn in their music right now. Like, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it was informative. Like,
you're saying it's over their heads.
Yeah, I'll say that.
Is that how you feel?
Because, like I said, I don't think that it's a bad project, and I don't think, like, I think that everything that you said is legit, and I just think that it was one of those things where people just really weren't trying to hear it.
Well, I mean, you can't really say nobody's trying to hear it. I mean, the project.
I don't mean like listening to it, yeah. Like at all.
What I wanna convey is that there are millions of people in the world. You know what I mean? And when I set out to make the project, I had to realize that it's millions of people in the world that want to hear something that I feel is worth hearing.
And that's
regardless,
true.
Regardless of what's being put out, I feel like if I put out what I wanted to put out, that people would gravitate toward it. And for the most part, people have been gravitating toward it. Music, I'm speaking on, I spoke on so many things. I spoke on... religion. I spoke on the Trayvon Martin situation. I spoke on so many different things that are still current right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. A lot of the music that we had come out in the past, everything was current. When Dre did the Chronic and they did The Day the Niggas Took Over, like, they literally wrote that song during the riots, and it was a song about the riots.
That's what I told somebody. I was like, you know, I feel like hip-hop as a culture is always a direct reflection of where we are in life right now. And if you look at the majority of mainstream music and what's very popular, it's a direct reflection of how everybody are. It's the bling bling stuff. It's the booty. It's the girls. It's the stuff. It's the that.
Right. When wasn't it?
But in the same token, a lot of the artists that have those hit singles, they can sell singles, but they can't sell albums because there's no substance in their albums.
I agree.
When J. Cole drops his project and he sells 500,000 copies or 1,000,000 copies, and you have Kendrick that goes platinum, it definitely shows you that there's more of an avenue for a more complete artist to get out and actually make record labels money, as opposed to selling 1,000,000 singles, because you can have 4 or 5 singles come off an album and sell 10 million records easily. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not getting caught up in that. What I want to do is make the best music that I can and give people what I feel like they should have, which is what they are currently going through.
Was it kind of reassuring to see somebody like J. Cole or Kendrick have that kind of success and not have to bend their artistry to what the current, you know, sound is like assumed to be? Like, I guess as far as like lyricism goes, because a lot of, you know, people now like, well, there's not a lot of lyricism in rapping anymore.
I think lyricism's coming back.
I agree with that statement. I think it is too.
I think lyricism, I mean, to me it never left. I just think that the industry turned on lyricism to the point where everything is about a hot single. You know, I mean, we take meetings with people and involving people in conversations with people that own labels, and everybody's talking this hit single. We need a single. We need this. We need that. You know what I mean? And then I'm going and I'm getting feedback from A&Rs, and they're telling me, well, your project has 4 singles on it. You know what I'm saying? You got 2 records that could be on Top 40 Radio. You got 2 records that can be on Urban Radio.
Is tight too.
I don't necessarily feel like that's a single. But people gravitate toward what they want to gravitate toward. Yeah. I made that record because I was like, well, this would be a good song for me to perform, and it's a good way for me to say this. And when I was just really piecing together a project and really saying what I felt about the film that I shaped the project around, or that inspired me to write the songs in the first place. So, I mean, but to answer your question, yeah, it was reassuring to see that a lyricist can actually get out and sell records if a label decides they want to get behind one. You know what I mean? And, right, you know, it may be coming back around in terms of people maybe saying, okay, well, yeah, I might want to hear some rap. You know what I'm saying? Like some real rap, like some cadence, some different cadences and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it was reassuring. So that's my piece on it. I feel like it's definitely coming around. I think that maybe labels should open up to a bigger picture, because everything is changing. Everything is changing. There's no formula to it. And that's what they lack. That's what they seem to realize. They don't realize that there's no formula to it. Talent is talent at the end of the day.
I think the thing I've always heard is, like, whenever you, and I've been in a couple meetings myself, and it's like they always say, you know, the first thing that any record, you know, executive always says is, you know, we're in the music business to sell records, you know, and I think that's why there's a big emphasis on singles and stuff like that. And then, you know, when someone like, and I know he's referenced all the time, but when someone like Trinidad James can come out of the woodwork and drop a song, and, you know, I believe I'll Go Everything's a platinum single or what have you, and but here's, and what to what you were saying is, like, they can come out with the single and it'll pop, but then what's up with the rest of the record?
Right. We've seen that three or four different times. You had Krayshawn.
Yeah, that's probably the best example.
But that kills me, because that Gucci Gucci song was my shit for so long.
It was so awful.
But it doesn't, you know, it was catchy, you had so many different.
It wasn't that I thought it was good. It was like a commercial, like that. I'm not your daddy, I'm your grandpa. Like, it was, to me, that was the equivalent of the song.
Yeah. But does that translate into long-term success? No.
I mean, no, but who said that she didn't set out to be a one-hit wonder? I'd be a one-hit wonder.
Tell me this. You have a hot record, and I give you $3 million, and I say, take this, make me more records. And you can't reduplicate that success. I've just lost $3 million at one time. At one time, I just lost all that money.
But at the same time, we can sit up here and say that, but like Krayshawn and them and that whole little clique, they have a little cult following. Like they have people that fuck with them. So
and that's good for them because when they do shows, they'll make money. But it's not good for the label because if, label if it's not a 360 deal, they're not making no money off those shows.
I mean, yeah, but
no. See, I'm with you, and see, but you know, a lot of people when the Cole album came out, it did well, almost did as great as Kanye's in the first week. Mm-hmm. I think it was like 30,000 units shy, which is really commendable
for a little while,
right? Yeah, which
and
really
that's to drop on the same day as Kanye. So, and then for that to be his sophomore album, he did damn good.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, like, he's on his way. But a lot of people didn't like the album. What'd you think of
the Cole album? To be honest, I haven't even really been listening to a lot of music. You know, I mean, I listened to the Jay album a little bit. I listened to the Kanye album.
What were your thoughts on those albums?
Man, my thoughts on the Kanye album was, I mean, it sounded like chaos to me.
Yeah,
I'm all for being progressive and making certain type of records or different records. But when you're doing it, I think that you have to be studious of it and do it properly. I would never try to do an EDM record if I don't sit down and actually listen to those artists that make those records. You know,
yeah.
Like before we did Peace, I was jamming and I was just constantly listening to Rage Against the Machine.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like maybe it wasn't as funky as Rage Against the Machine, but overall it was a good record. Like it definitely got the right vibe.
Yeah.
And you didn't lose anything between the raps and the track and all of that kind of stuff, where a lot of people just, I'm a rap and it's going to be a rock song. That's not what I do. And I think that's what Kanye kind of missed the mark to me, because he was trying to be progressive in a way that took rap, I guess, in another direction, or at least his career.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he failed. I think he failed at that. So, I mean, sometimes, I mean, it happens.
You know, I wasn't a fan of Yeezus because we talked about it a lot on the show. Listeners know I was really critical of it before it came out.
Yeah, that was the Vaughn show.
That was when we talked to Vaughn. And then when it came out, I was like, you know, okay.
Yeah.
It's not as terrible as I expected. It's definitely still my least favorite Kanye album, I think, off top. But there are records on it that I really like.
Yeah, I don't think
I like
it
Blood
was
on the Leaves.
See, that's one the thing about it is.
I like,
I feel like
Bound
people
to.
Only like that because of the sampled song.
No.
I don't like Blood on the Leaves.
I like Blood on the Leaves.
The lyrics were good.
I think it was real. Yeah, I like Bound to.
I like Bound to.
And I like
I'm in it. Or I'm
in
on it.
It.
Yeah, I like I'm in it.
I'm not going to lie, man. We listened to maybe two or three tracks and I was like sleep. I don't know if it was I was tired or if I was just like that disinterested in what I was listening to.
I like Cole album, though.
I really like J. Cole's album.
I heard
some of Cole's album.
I liked the song with he and Miguel. And then I really liked that Rich Nigga song he had.
I mean, I think people like me, but it's a big year if you think about it in terms of people who've released albums. You know, you had Timberlake started off. You know, Timberlake released a great album, in my opinion.
Right.
And then then J. Cole, Robin Thicke released it. You know, these are people I'm just fans of. Eminem's giving us Marshall Mathers LP 2.
Right. It's definitely going to be a good year.
Timberlake's giving us a second album at the end of September.
And then Kendrick dropped last year, right?
Right.
Kendrick dropped
last year.
And I
think it's amazing that he's still riding it.
It's still current.
What'd you think of the Control?
Man, I'm getting tired of talking about Control, to be honest with you.
Well, you ain't talked about it here yet.
Okay, this is how I feel. I've been rapping for 10 years.
Yeah.
At no point when I was writing my rap did I not think I'm going to go harder than everybody that I'm writing a rap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that just has to be bred in you as an MC to feel like you're going to kill everybody.
Yeah.
So when he's saying that, I'm not upset. You know what I'm saying? And I don't necessarily feel like I don't feel like he was dissing anybody.
I didn't think so either.
I don't think he was dissing anybody. What he said was, I got love for y'all, but when we on these tracks, I'm going
to
kill you. Like, come on, that's competition. Hip-hop is like a blood sport. It's like boxing almost. There can only be one king.
I think a lot of people focused on the name-dropping thing, and I think I think the bigger thing that people should have talked about, which still wasn't a big deal to me, was the King of New York thing and how he was, who's the best three, Kendrick, Jay-Z, or Nas?
I just think, I mean, from what I've heard, that he actually got that line from Corrupt, so it wasn't even a Kendrick line per se. I think that he said it. it's not a big deal to me, because if there were a current New York rapper that was putting on for New York the way that Kendrick is putting on for the West Coast, then maybe that wouldn't have been said. I think it was a good thing for hip hop overall, because it's calling people to it was waking people up. Like, yeah, it could be all handshakes and smiles and teeth and palms and all that kind of stuff, but at the end of the day, what type of records are we putting out collectively as rappers? What does that say about the state of hip hop in 2013?
Do you think hip hop's gotten softer over the years?
I think hip-hop
as a genre,
it's lost. I think you have a lot of people that are willing to compromise who they are to make a song just like somebody else. You have a plethora of songs that's coming out right now that sound like Bay Area songs from Southern artists and East Coast artists, whatever the case is.
And then there's the wave where everyone wanted to sound like they're from Houston.
Right. And to me, that's just saying that there's a lack of, A, integrity and a lack of creativity when it comes to putting together music. Mm-hmm. In the early 90s, there was so much, I guess, diversity in it. You had the Tribe, then you had all those conscious artists, and then you had gangster rap, you know, then you had, I mean, it was so many different type of rappers or records that was coming out there. Everybody wasn't the same. Everybody wasn't eating off of the same fan base. That's why people can't sell records. That's another reason why I feel like people can't sell records today. But
it's because of what?
You can't force 10 million people to buy the same record 10 times.
Yeah, okay.
You can't do that. So, I mean, that's how I feel about it. So, yeah, I definitely think rappers are lost. It's a lack of people wanting to go out and do their own things. Like, when somebody comes out with their own sound, it's major because they're the only person that sounds like that. And then what happens? Other rappers come and they try to sound just like that.
Yeah.
So,
because I see that's what's hot. I feel like that was almost like the wave of, like, in more recent memory, like Juicy J comes out with Bands and Make Her Dance.
Right.
And then everybody has their Mike Will Made It version. I think anything that Mike Will produced after that was trying to recreate, in a sense, to me at least, was trying to recreate that Bands and Make Her Dance.
Was
Bands and Make Her Dance remix.
It was like real similar, yeah.
That was like the same song. I thought it was the remix.
Yeah, like literally it was probably like one instrument missing somewhere that made that different.
Yeah.
Or added. Like that was the same.
But then,
beat.
You know, then he turns around, he does a record with Miley Cyrus.
Hey.
Makes that money.
You gotta get that money, man.
She performs it at the VMAs. Did you watch that?
Yeah, I saw it, man.
How'd you feel?
I was disgusted. I'm not gonna lie.
It was a little. You know who I felt bad for?
It wasn't
Robin Thicke.
Yeah, that was pretty awkward. I'm not gonna lie. That was pretty.
Oh,
awkward.
That was so terrible.
Yeah.
And you knew he was just trying to be a consummate performer and not react to it.
Right.
But it was just, and she was a terrible singer, by the way.
Yeah, that was pretty bad, man. And I actually found her attractive before that.
Before that, I was like, you know, Miley can kind of get it.
When she cleaned up her act and got like elegant, she was cute. Now this ratchet shit, look, I ain't here for it. I ain't hit that. I don't know. And I feel if she can brand twerking, I can brand being a trap queen, and white America has to take it.
I mean, I don't like this mainstream crossover of the twerking.
I think that
it's entered the American lexicon just as Bling Bling did. You know what I'm saying?
It's in the dictionary, man.
It's in the dictionary.
But it's one of those things
twerk.
That gets taken.
Yin Yang Twins is the first time I heard the word twerk.
It gets taken from us and then it gets like whiteified.
Well, how do you whiteify something?
Say
monetize
twerk.
It.
Twerk.
Make there it popular. Make it pop.
Oh, so make money off of it.
When it crosses over, when it becomes something that is not on Google, and now you got, like, when I
have an issue with these, because I was watching the VMA pre-show as well, and there was some guy who I've never seen before, looked like a Justin Bieber clone, performed on the pre-show.
Yeah, I saw that.
And
he was just
on?
Yeah, he had a beanie on. And
Mahone. Andrew Mahoney
or something like that. And, like, his speech at the VMAs was like, I want to shout out my homies.
Yeah,
and, and I'm like, yo,
pretty fake, man.
Dude, you,
well,
Bieber,
I'm not saying
Miley.
That they, I'm not saying that you can't have those colloquialisms or anything like that. Because
yes, you can. No, I ban it. The white man in the room bans it.
All right, that's on you. I'm not saying that. Because I get that, and that's not really that big of a deal. That's like somebody saying, okay, well, you talk white. That's the dumbest shit
But
ever.
A lot. Oh, yeah, I hate that.
Right.
Well, that's a psychology thing, too. Because people equate talking white with speaking well. And if you sound black, that means you sound uneducated. That's what it's attached to.
Being able to do both.
Think about it. Because think about here's the thing, and this is what I don't like. If you think about, okay, what's a chocolate cake, right, with dark chocolate on top of it? Okay. What is that called?
A dark chocolate cake.
No, devil's food, right?
Right.
Right? But then what's a white cake with white icing on it called? Angel cake, right? Angel food, right? It's stuff like that. I've just been thinking about recently. And like what you just said, like this talk white thing. Stuff like that actually kind of makes me mad. Not as like a white American, just as a person. It's right. Like people
I'm one of those people, man. I was definitely brought up from a young age to be more of a pro-black type of person.
I get that vibe.
But, militant. You know, the older I am, the older I've gotten, I've just, you know, grown to understand things from my own perspective.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, now I don't really believe in a lot of things. I don't believe in race. I think believe in culture, definitely. Everywhere you go, somebody's going to have something that they do differently.
But in terms
of race, I think that's just a way of kind of separating people and promoting a form of tribalism to where it's like there's some kind of competition or some kind of survival game that's going on.
Yeah.
And that's what's being taught. At least, if not worldwide, definitely in America, racism is an institution.
I mean, and people don't understand what I say sometimes. I'm like, you know, like even I think people should be aware of the past always.
Right.
I think that everyone should be aware of where you came from, what happened and all that. But, you know, a friend of mine, his little sister was talking to me, and I was like, you know, what did you learn in school today? And she
You're okay.
Huh?
You're okay.
Okay.
Oh, some
other
time.
Oh, and she was telling me what she learned in school that day, and she was talking about, they were talking about slavery, and she goes, yeah, it kind of makes me not like white people. And yeah. And not that you shouldn't be informed about slavery and stuff, but I think I see what you're saying in the education system. It's kind of forcing a rift, if you will, between cultures in a way.
Yeah, this is my thing. I once heard somebody say, I was listening to the radio on the way to work one day, and they were just saying that the only way that we can stamp out racism is to not teach history. Mm-hmm. Well, if we don't teach history, then there's no way to prevent some of the ills that have happened.
Yeah.
You know, i.e. the Holocaust.
We learn from the past.
Yeah, we definitely learn from the past.
Teaching history doesn't teach racism. Racism is something that's taught. Prejudices are preferences. But racism is something that is taught. Like, you are taught to be racist. You are taught that, you know, that's typically like if your grandparents grew up and didn't like white people because of how they got treated or because of whatever, so they grew up like always saying something negative about white people, you are instinctively going to become negative about that. You know what I'm saying? Versus, and that's one of those things where it's, they really don't know any better. You know what I'm saying?
Are you talking about older people?
I mean, because you have to think about the time that it was in, like,
and it wasn't, you know, socially unacceptable.
Right. Like, that's just the time that it was. That was kind of how you were forced to be. You know what I'm saying? Whereas now, with it being such a big deal, it's like everybody wants it to be not that big of a deal and then that big of a deal at the same time, but it's not balancing itself out because it's still tipping on the thing. Like,
on as much folks?
As, yeah.
I think that there definitely has to be balance. I think we can teach history, and the same way that America tries to institute tolerance, I think that there has to be a degree of tolerance in understanding history and understanding that we don't necessarily have to be in the same place. And that's what's not being done. They taught us, you know, slavery happened. Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. And that's it. There was no explanation or a way that to come in and say, well, this happened and this is a part of how this country was built.
I'm not going to agree with that either, because history is taught the way they wanted it to be taught to you. Like, for instance, does anybody ever remember that Albert Einstein was a very big part of the civil rights movement with blacks?
No.
Mm-mm.
He was huge in it. He was huge in race relations everywhere, like in Berlin. But that's not something that you're taught. He had not a hand in, but he was against the A-bomb and stuff being built because of what it was used for. But that's not what you know Albert Einstein for. Right. Like, that's not something like he and W.E. Du Bois was tight. Like, that's not something that you hear. He wrote letters to the president about how blacks was treated. He went to stand-ins and he did all these other things that you're not taught about. So saying that they're teaching it in school isn't enough. People don't have a natural yearning to want to learn and want to do their own research and see what's out there. They take what's given to them and then they run with that. Like,
you also got to remember that what does it say at the beginning of every history book, right? Who it was written by.
Right.
You know,
so
again,
whoever writes it is going to write it in the way they want to.
It's a teacher's job.
It still says Columbus discovered America. And
mean,
everybody knows that's not true. But it's still taught all the time.
But that,
it's funny because it's taught when you're in elementary. And then when you get into high school, they're like, yeah, that's not true. Or when you get into college,
or
like,
that
yeah,
depends on the school even though, because like I went to an all-white high school. Like I went from being in an all-black school where – you know, my entire class was black and it was sprinkled with a few white kids, with those white kids that grew up with us all our life. So, and it wasn't like a race thing. Like, they was tight.
Yeah.
Everybody was good. And then I went to an all white school where I was the only black person in my entire classroom of 30 kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, and stuff like history, of course, when they, you know, talk about the slaves, you automatically become the spokesperson
for
what my ancestors went through and I wasn't even there.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. But again, it also goes in how it's taught. Like, you have people teaching history without being passionate about history, so they're just teaching you the basics of it or what it is without diving into you know what else. Well, did you just burp?
I went burr. That's how they talk. That's how like history teachers talk. Burr. That's what I hear.
But yeah.
Well, no. I guess you could say, adding on to what you were saying, with people not really being willing to teach a more comprehensive view of history, or teach more history in a wider view of understanding what happened, that we have to have different avenues that promote people learning that.
I mean, I agree.
So if it's the music via a project like Higher Learning, or if it's a movie or whatever it is, that's the way that people go to get information. Instead of just running on Wikipedia, which may or not be accurate, or running to maybe an older person that may not understand or may not have been taught properly about it. So it's different avenues to where you can definitely promote growth in terms of understanding the world or understanding the our history, because it's our history. It's everybody's history. It's not just black history or white history or Native American, whatever the case is. So, I mean, I just like to put stuff like that into my music to promote somebody wanting to think for themselves or wanting to grow in a way to where they don't have to have this mundane thought process of, oh, I just need to get money, I need to get this, and kind of understand.
So no boats and hoes?
Nah, no boats and hoes on this project.
I like boats and hoes.
I like hoes on boats.
I like to put holes in hoes.
What they got to do with the boat?
Hoes should have their own hoes.
I like to cork
them. He does this thing where sometimes he tries to go too far.
Yeah.
And he did it, and now he's still trying to save it.
Yeah. It made sense.
No, it didn't.
Maybe it's just over your head, like Expressions Project was.
It just didn't make any damn sense.
No, it was just so intelligent. It seems stupid.
So your hoes don't have holes already? You have to put holes in your hoes?
Brand out here, you killing these hoes, man.
He's a Ken doll.
Peaches likes to think that I don't have any genitalia. She calls
I don't
me
want to think about your genitalia.
But you saying you don't want to think about my genitalia, if so facto, now you're thinking about my genitalia.
I guess.
You guess so.
Right,
score.
Brad.
Oh, man.
Take a break.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here on the Bragging with Sean Demand. We're going to be back with Express. Talk about a little bit more about Higher Learning. Talk about the videos.
And the fact that I should have got a shrimp taco.
From Higher Learning, and why Peaches didn't get her shrimp taco. We'll be back here on the Brad Gilmore Show. Oh, it's a million.
Just take it easy. Take it slow. You're moving too fast. So many places that you wanna go. Slow down. You're trying to fall in love with the world. Another sad story of a delusional girl.
Another page from the author of A Lonely Girl. Innocence taken cause she's told to change by the world. And it's a shame how the brain can tell the soul to change. All she saw was plain Jane, so she had to change her frame. Now her name is known, the girl that you describe in songs, clubs at nights and Facebook lights, the life that every girl would want. But it's funny, the confusion from an outer illusion, never felt true love, so took drugs and lust as a substitution. But happiness can't be defined by a line of coke, so her inner thoughts are poured out in the diary she wrote. And in the couple notes, she spoke about the life she lived, and for the chance of fame, her body she decided to give. Told herself she had to keep going, running and running, telling herself to find a man, but life's no pretty woman. She starts to realize the girl that she is becoming, tired of hearing sexy and just wants someone to call her stunning, or gorgeous, or beautiful on one of those dark nights when she's at home all alone, not caught up in all the hype. But instead all she has a pen, so she decides to write, drifting into dark thoughts, never could find the light. So life changes lanes and all she seems to find is pain. Too deep into her life to change, she had nothing to gain. Her soul was taken by the world, no more to give. Pain pills and a lifeless girl, Alice chooses not to live.
Take it easy, take it slow. You're moving too fast, so many places that you wanna go.
My ex, girl, a sex girl, deaf, not the best girl, the type to go to parties, get messed up and show a breast, girl, look at how you dress, girl, and all these skimpy clothes, popping bottles, snorting vials, acting like a hoe, met her at a show, a summer event that we was at, powder on her nose, I couldn't believe that she was into that, but I never deal with that, I thought it'd be fine. Waste time, break time, sunshine, she on my mind. So I went to her house to see if she was lonely. Open door, foaming from the mouth, she had an OD. Looks like the culprit was the Sprite and the codeine. And a couple pills, I could see the bottles opening. A couple light beers, just to fight tears. Pop another pill, so the pain she would not feel. Then I called her mom and said I'm sad to say Allison is wasted away because the day she passed away. Rest in peace.
A moment to shine can change how one is defined. Living life on a path of darkness, no longer caring about the true thoughts of one mind. She escapes into a pit of undermining outer beauty just to fulfill the happiness of others. No longer content with acting out the role. Only wanted someone to love and someone to love and someone to love and someone to love and someone.
Just take it easy.